Hi, I'm Naomi. I'm 37 and a new mum. And when I was on the fence about becoming a parent, all I heard was, but your life will have true purpose with children. Now I've got a baby though, you think the first trimester's hard? Just wait for the hell of the 4-month sleep regression. Now, despite deciding to baby, there's still loads more to find out from both camps. So here's a podcast on the Secret Recordings Network, where I chat to baby wanters, baby rejecters, and everything in between to see why we decide to baby or not to baby. In this episode, I chat to Rachel, whose journey to motherhood featured ovarian cancer and possible early menopause.
They did a scan and she said, look, we don't know what it is, but we do know that's what's causing your problem, the ovary. We know it's that. We can see it. So the best thing I think we can do is just to remove it.
And I'm joined on this journey by my sister and best friend, Camilla.
Hey, hey.
Hey. That was very kids' TV presenter.
Was it?
Mm. I'd love to be a kids' TV presenter as well.
You'd be a good kids' TV presenter.
Oh, you just sign me up wherever. Like, I'd do all the stupid songs.
But you know what? I feel like that's partly a compliment, but there's a little hint of, I think that kids' TV presenters are all a little bit annoying.
Well, that's a bit harsh.
To be fair, I say about kids' TV presenters being annoying, nothing is more annoying than baby TV.
What, just baby TV or...
Did you do baby TV with Chester?
No.
Oh my God, didn't you?
No.
Oh, holy shit. This is going to be a game changer for your second baby then. So basically, baby TV, we haven't got the TV channel, but you can watch it on YouTube. So we watch it on YouTube through the telly. And it is an instant happiness maker for babies. So as soon as you put baby TV on, Eleni is happy as Larry. And it's basically loads of like nursery rhymes, but with very wacky bonkers animations that are interesting for the baby to watch. But how they recruit the people who sing the songs. Again, like, I feel like I'm insulting a lot of people here, right? Because I went and other kids' TV presenters. But some of the kids who sing the nursery rhymes, they are so off key.
See, I'm a bit selfish, really, as a mother in this respect, because I try and make Chester watch the things that I actually quite like.
True. And actually, Eleni was a big fan of Strictly when it was on, but we're obviously out of that now. But yeah. Baby TV, if you've never experienced it, you should just go and watch like 5 minutes of it on YouTube. And honestly, you'll hate yourself after you've done it. But if you've got a baby, they will love you.
Okay. My name's Rachel. I currently have an 8-month-old little girl. And that's my parenting situation.
And you currently have an 8-month-old girl, but I feel like the journey to get to said 8-month-old girl sounds like it was pretty tumultuous.
Yes, it was a little bit of an interesting journey, let's put it that way. I was 17 years old and I remember thinking, this looks really odd. And my skirt on one side was really tight and on the other was really loose. Anyway, that was a Sunday. The Monday I went to the doctor's, she examined me and went, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't like what I've felt. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm not happy with it. So I want you to go straight to the local hospital. So I got rushed straight through when I got to A&E. They did a scan, an ultrasound scan. And she said, look, we don't know what it is, but we do know that's what's causing your problem, the ovary. We know it's that. We can see it. So the best thing I think we can do is just to remove it. Just take it out because we know that's causing the problem. We don't know why it's causing the problem. We just know it's that.
At that point, when they said that to you, because obviously you're 17, but presumably they would have had conversations with you about how that may or may not impact your fertility.
Yeah. They said obviously it would reduce, because obviously you only have one ovary, but at 17 you just want to get better and go out with your mates, don't you?
Yeah.
You don't really, who cares about the future? I just want to go out with my friends, you know. Had the operation. It was all a success. They said, and what we've done is we've done some histology of it. We've, you know, sliced it and looked it under a microscope. We're really sorry to say that it's cancer. And literally my whole world fell apart.
Yeah.
Like, it was the thing I expected the least. So luckily it was stage 1, So that means it was still right in the center of the ovary. So it hadn't spread anywhere. I had small cell carcinoma of the ovary. So that kind of cancer is rare. But for her 17-year-old to have it is even rarer. Like, that's why nobody knew.
So do you think, did they just kind of assume, oh, well, it's not going to be cancer because she's 17?
Yes, pretty much, I think.
Okay.
So they decided that I would have to go through chemo just in case any of the cancer cells had spread anywhere else. So I'm really feeling the effects of lost my hair. The sickness is horrendous. Like, it's worse than morning sickness.
And again, before the doctors knew it was cancer, but they're saying to you, we need to take your ovary, they will have had conversations with you about fertility. But obviously chemo comes with its own implications. And so did they then have another conversation before that started to say, okay, and so what was that?
Yeah, so there was a 2-week kind of gap when I left hospital to my chemo started. And we had lots of conversations with the doctors over the phone about, obviously, this can affect your fertility. So they did offer to have some part IVF done. But obviously, this was back in 2005. So IVF then was not what IVF is now. It was still kind of developing and new. The only thing they could offer me was that they would take part of my ovary, so not the eggs, just the actual working ovary itself, and freeze that in the hope that they would then be able to get eggs from that part of the ovary.
Wow.
Because that was the technology that they had at the time.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Mm. But they were like, we don't know if it's going to work, because we don't know if actually that will happen. It's something that we're trying to achieve for the future.
Yeah.
But we don't know if it's actually going to work. They gave me a long time to think about it. I spoke with mum and dad about it, and I, you know, had a real good think about it. And I decided that I wouldn't go down that route because, again, I was 17. I just wanted to go back to normal. I didn't want to think about the future, because at that time, you don't know what the future holds anyway.
Yeah.
And because I've had the 5 rounds, they said, you know what? The next round probably isn't going to make that much of a difference. So we're not going to give it to you. Basically, your treatment's finished and that's it. We'll keep monitoring you. So you keep coming back, blah, 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 blah. Have your blood tests, have your scans, and we'll just keep monitoring you.
But so after this, you are given the all clear.
Yep.
And you're like, wicked, I can just go on living my life, doing all that stuff that where I don't have to worry about any of this shit and everything's fine.
Yep. Mm. And then I think it was early 20s, maybe 22, 23, I suddenly started getting hot flushes, night sweats, kind of the signs I was told to look out for, because they said there was a risk of me going into the early menopause. So phoned up the doctor. They did the blood test. It came back that there was no issues with my hormone levels. They think that my body had got used to the pill. So it was kind of having those kind of effects from it.
Right.
But the lady who I saw, she was actually involved with my case from the very beginning.
Mm.
And she went, do you know what we're going to do, Rachel? Because now you're a bit older, how would you feel about applying for a grant from your local NHS to have your eggs frozen? And at that point, obviously, I'm a little bit older. I'm thinking about the future more. And I went, do you know what? Yeah, let's try it. So it was all booked in. I then started, obviously, the IVF journey of the woman's side. So I was having to take hormonal injections and all of this kind of thing. Went in. It was a day session. So you didn't stay in overnight. You just went in early in the morning. You're sedated, you're not completely put to sleep. So you kind of are sedated, had it all done. They told me they'd taken 10 eggs, which is quite a good haul of eggs. And I got a letter about a week later saying that they'd frozen 8 of the 10 because 8 of them were viable. So,
and like at that point, so I'm guessing from what you've said so far, are you not in a relationship at this stage?
No.
And so when you're thinking about those eggs that have been frozen, are you like, oh, you know, do you have kind of hopes and dreams like, oh, one day these eggs will become my children or?
Yeah. I joked with my mum and said, oh, look, you've got 8 grandkids somewhere in a freezer in London. So fast forward to about 2013, I met my husband. Obviously, he wasn't my husband then, but he is my husband.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. And from the very beginning, I knew he was very up for having children. He's always wanted children. So I was very honest with him from the beginning and said, look, I don't know if I can have children, but I do have 8 in a freezer somewhere in London. So, you know, there we go. Winning at life.
Oh, my God. Also, like, I feel like those conversations in an early sort of dating scenario can feel a bit awkward anyway.
Yes.
Without the added potential complication of, oh, by the way, you know, there might be, I might have some difficulties conceiving, but I have got some in the freezer.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, next to the peas, you know.
Don't get them mixed up.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was great. He was like, look, whatever happens, happened. You know, he was very much in the same, like, you know, you've got 8 eggs frozen. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, there's adoption, there's fostering, you know.
At that stage, are you like, marry me now? He's a good one. Let's have him.
I was told also when I had my eggs frozen, you try for a year like everyone else does. If you don't have any luck after a year, instead of going to your GP, just ring us up and make an appointment and, you know, we'll get you started. So almost like a fast track, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, that's fine. So we got married in 2018. We started trying probably April, May 2019. I was hopeful, but not putting, pardon the pun, all of my eggs in one basket.
How, when it came to the trying part, were you one of these people where you were kind of like, oh, well, I'm just going to let nature take its course? Were you like, I'm going to track my ovulation, I'm going to do ovulation sticks, I'm going to check my temperature, I'm going to do all of those things? Where were you on the spectrum?
The not quite the second person, but nearly.
I was
tracking. I wasn't taking my temperature, but I was tracking my periods and being like, this is the fertile zone.
Yeah. To be fair though, I think once you've committed to, okay, I'm ready, like if you and let's face it, in a way, you've been having to think about this situation since you were 17. Yeah. So I think once you've committed to going, yes, this is what we want to do.
Yeah,
I can totally, like, I tracked, for me, I was already tracking my ovulation, because when I came off the pill, I was I was tracking it A, so that I knew when I needed to be extra careful, and B, to see, because my periods had been really irregular after I came off the pill, and so to see what was happening when. So I was kind of in that zone, but I didn't do any of the ovulation, I didn't get to the ovulation stick temperature phase.
I didn't go that far either. And then my husband did set me down and go, Rachel, we need to stop doing this. If it's going to happen, we need to let it happen naturally. We can't keep doing it. Right. So at work, I'm known as a square because I like things done in a certain way. It's just how I am. And he was like, we just need to let things be as they may. And I went, oh, I suppose so. Okay, then. Anyway, next month comes round, July or August time. Oh, look, I'm pregnant.
Oh, my God.
No, actually, it was August. It was my dad's birthday. I found out I was pregnant.
Aww.
I remember that.
So I just had a little cry to myself. I was looking lovingly at Eleni after I'd just fed her. And I was like, oh, my God, one day she's going to be an adult and she's not going to need me anymore. Sob. She's not even 6 months old yet, guys. I think safe to say I've got some issues with living in the moment and probably should do some more meditation. At that point, how did you feel? Because I imagine the doctors up until this stage have almost prepared you for that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah. Was kind of surprised in one way, as in, oh my God, it's actually happened naturally. Then very excited and then very worried because obviously I've got a lot of scar tissue from 2 operations. But when I obviously started then seeing midwives and stuff, I was put under a consultant. I did have an appointment with a consultant. the consultant said, no, just have a normal pregnancy. Off you go back to the midwife. I don't want to see you again. You don't need to come and see me regularly. Just carry on like a normal pregnancy.
Was that reassuring or did that make you a bit nervous?
That was quite reassuring that yeah. I could have a normal pregnancy. It was all very chilled and relaxed, let's put it that way.
Amazing. And did pregnancy feel chilled and relaxed to you?
Up until about February, yes.
Okay.
Because that's when COVID really kicked off.
Mm. So February, where are you at in pregnancy?
So the December was my 20-week scan.
Yeah.
We found out the sex. And then obviously February, yeah. So about 5-6 months.
Mm.
And then obviously I went to work on the Monday as normal.
Yeah.
And then Monday, it was announced that if you were vulnerable, you had to stay at home. You couldn't go to work. You couldn't go out.
Yeah.
And that pregnant women were classed as vulnerable. No matter how far in your pregnancy was, you had yeah. to stay at home.
Yeah.
And then obviously, I think it was that Thursday that he then announced from the Monday it was a full lockdown. So my husband wasn't allowed to come to any appointments after that date.
Yeah.
I had to have a growth scan because they were concerned. The midwife was concerned because my bump was measuring smaller than it should have been.
Oh, my God. That was me every time.
Yeah.
To the point where the first time I had to have it, I was terrified and I was convinced yeah. that there was something wrong and everything else. And then by yeah. the last time I was like, oh, cool. It just means I get to see the baby again.
Yeah. Well, all very different. Had no seating area in the ultrasound room. Obviously, all the doctors and nurses were all masked up and it was all very odd. But she was fine, the little one. She was healthy. The reason I was too small was because she was like a frog. So she stuck her knees out. So instead of being long, she was kind of frog-like.
Squished.
Yes, because she just is awkward, I think. And when she was born, that's how she would sleep, with her frog-like. Which was very cute. So yeah, and then I was overdue by a week, which in the grand scheme of things for your first baby is not that long.
Mm.
But for someone who's cooped up in the house and doesn't like to be cooped up in the house, it felt like forever.
Yeah.
And I started having contractions at 6 o'clock in the morning. I phoned them up and they were like, yeah, you can come in for a check, but your husband won't be able to come in with you. He'll drop you at the door. You'll come in. You'll be assessed. I was like, yeah, that's fine. So I was assessed. Yes, I wasn't that far dilated. Everything else was okay. So they said, look, we're going to send you home because that's what we normally do. But also for COVID reasons, we don't want to keep you in hospital. I was like, yeah, that's yeah. fine. That's fine. I think we got home about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's progressively getting worse and worse and closer together. So I slide off of the sofa, drop onto my knees and have this almighty sensation of falling and the urge to push.
Oh, my God.
To which I just go to my husband, grab that phone now. And he's like, okay, then. So I ring and she's like, well, you know, you don't want to be too kind of, you know. And I was like, no, I'm coming in. So we go up there. I'm like in absolute full swings of labour. In this time, doesn't stay at the door. He just walks in with me as if to say, you are not stopping me right now.
Yeah.
By this point, I think my waters have broken because I felt a sensation in the car park and I felt a sensation in the delivery room. So she examines me and goes, oh, yes, yes, your waters have broken. This 6 o'clock in the evening, so 12 hours after my first contraction. And then she suddenly goes, please don't panic, but I'm just going to press the buzzer. And I was just like, oh, my God, what's happening? She was like, nothing to worry about. I just need an extra pair of hands. 32 minutes later, my little one's born.
Oh, my God. That is spectacular.
I had no pain relief. Yeah, it was pretty quick.
Oh, my God. What a journey you had to take to yeah. get to that point. And I then love the fact that actually once you got to that point, got pregnant pretty quickly. And then when yeah. the baby decided it wanted to come, oh, it came pretty quickly. So it yeah. made well, up for all that other like extended time of having yeah. to consider your fertility and if you wanted children and how that was going to look.
Yes. Well, I was born very quickly as well. I was actually born at home. My mum didn't make it to hospital with me.
Wow.
So like daughter, like mother, I think comes to mind.
Oh, do you know what? When Eleni was born, because she was born incredibly quickly. I mean, in the end, it was via C-section, but basically I started having contractions, which I didn't know were contractions, at about, I think it was about 8:30 at night. Yeah. But then by not even 1 a.m., I was in established labor. And and then at 3 a.m., they were saying to me, yeah, this baby might be, you know, we're sending you down for a C-section emergency because she's breached, but you might have to deliver this thing naturally. And I was just like, holy shit, this was supposed to take ages. What's going on?
Yeah.
But one of the first songs that came, once we went through to theater, one of the first songs that came on our playlist is a song by Kacey Musgraves and it's called Slow Burn. And the first line of the song is, born in a hurry, always late, haven't been early since 88. And I was like, and like, my husband is notoriously late for things. And I was like, I think we're going to have a baby that was born in a hurry, but is going to be like you. And is probably going to be late for everything else for the rest of her life.
Yeah. Well, like, I downloaded shows onto the iPad from Netflix. I'd created a playlist. I'd messaged my work colleagues going, what songs do you think I should have on my playlist during my labour? Didn't get to use any of it. I'd packed sweets. I'd packed food. Yeah. I'd packed, you know. And I used it, but in the maternity ward, not in the delivery suite.
Yeah. Yeah, I was exactly the same. We'd bought little tea light thingies to put little electric ones to put around the room. We got all sorts of stuff. I got hypnobirthing cards. I didn't have any of them. But just kind of in conclusion to that, how does it then feel, especially after everything that you've been through and going through pregnancy and early parenthood in a pandemic? How does it feel now to be like, I'm a mum?
A bit crazy, to be fair. I mean, there's still times I look at her and go, you're really mine, aren't you? Like, I have to look after you.
Yeah.
Like, this is weird. But I think, in a way, being in a lockdown when you first have a baby was a good thing, because we didn't have any of the visitors. We didn't have any of the stress of trying to fit people in so that they could all come and see her. So it was very relaxed, very calm, very chilled, which I think was good for both me and her.
Yeah.
Because it meant that she got into a really good routine of naps and sleeping and feeding. I mean, obviously, there were times where I was just like, I just want someone to come and help me, you know? Yeah. But FaceTime, Zoom, all of those things, just incredible, really.
Mm.
Because obviously then in the April, we had a heat wave as well, didn't we? So trying to get a 3-week-old in front of a heat wave and get her through that was just hard work as well. And being a first-time mum, thinking, oh my God, what is this rash?
Yeah.
Was quite hard work.
But you know what? I feel like whether there's a heat wave or not, that for me has been like the first, you know, 4 months of having a baby has just been one thing after another of, am I doing the right thing? Oh my God, I've done this thing wrong. Have I done that? Google this. What do we do with this? Like, there's always something. There's literally always something.
Oh yeah, there's always something. Like, mainly the colour of poo.
Oh my God, I've looked at so many nappy and poo pictures. It's ridiculous.
Like, my text messages to my husband are now, she's done a poo.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just been a bit of a whirlwind, I think, because obviously COVID has just changed the way of life of everything at the moment. I remember queuing up outside Tesco's once I'd had Mia. I think maybe this is maybe 2 weeks after I'd had her, because I just wanted to get out of the house, taking a call from the midwife and having to answer questions about the colour of her poo while people were like 2 metres away from me thinking, oh my God. And you could just see the looks on their faces going, why are you talking about yellow poo? And I was like, please don't judge me right now. Please don't judge me.
But do you love being a mum?
Oh, yes. Absolutely love it. Like, she's amazing. Like, every day she can do something new, and it's just incredible to watch her kind of develop her skills and her recognizing of people. Like, she recognizes me, she recognizes her dad, she recognizes my parents, who she's only met a handful of times because of COVID and where they live. But yet on a Zoom call, she recognises them and will smile at them. It's also a bit sad that she is so used to technology already, and she's 8 months old.
Yeah.
That makes me feel a bit sad, but it's just the way life is now. And as my mum said to me when it was all kind of going off, you've got through worse, Rachel, you can get through this.
What a roller coaster to get to where she has got to now, but amazing that she did.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant that it all went smoothly in the end for her. But my God, 17 years old having to try and think about kids. Like, oh, I just...
Honestly, at 17, all I was concerned with was driving me Burgundy Ford Fiesta to Greg's at Beaumont Lees. And I was torn between, should I have the char grilled chicken oval or should I have the honey and mustard chicken oval?
Oh, well, I think I was about to join the rock band. I was all about the music. It was all about the singing when I was 17.
But this is the thing.
And boys.
Boys. But not decisions about bloody fertility.
Absolutely not. I mean, even as someone who has always thought that they wanted kids to be asked that question when you're that age, whoa, like mind blowing.
Totally.
I wonder from her mum's point of view how that felt for her 17-year-old daughter and like having those conversations with her.
Awful. It must be horrific. I can't even imagine what it would be like knowing that your child is going through something like that at an age where they shouldn't have to be thinking about any of those things.
Yeah.
Absolutely bonkers. But how do you feel about listening to that? Potentially, when your baby is due, Camilla, you might be also giving birth in a pandemic.
Yeah. I really didn't think I would be. I thought by now everything would have calmed down, and I'm still hopeful things might have calmed down a bit by then, but who knows? This is one of the reasons that I've opted for a home birth, hopefully.
Yeah.
One, I've heard really good things about home birth and about the home birth teams and how good they are. And two, I just think I would rather be at home, you know, at this point. But who knows? Because I might have complications and have to go into hospital. And I do think I would find it hard without Ed, or with him only briefly there and then having to go. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's the not knowing, isn't it? But I think that's the same with pregnancy full stop. You just don't know.
Well, I think in my head for you, I think it would be hard because you've known it normally. Like for me, I didn't know it any different. I only knew it like in a pandemic. I only knew it where Dan couldn't come in with me. Everyone had to wear a mask. Whereas I feel like for you, it would be different. But actually, because you get to do it at home, it's going to be different anyway, isn't it? So that's quite nice.
Yeah, as long as I do get to do it at home.
Well, fingers crossed.
What I want, but who knows if I'll get what I want.
Question.
I mean, to be honest, I had my eyes closed for the majority of labour. I could have been anywhere with Jessica. Like, no one would have known. I'd just, you know.
In the zone.
I was so in the zone.
Question for you, because we did mention it earlier when I was talking to Rachel. Birth playlist? Do you want a copy of mine or not?
Me and Ed have discussed this, right? And I think I've mentioned it before that we couldn't play our playlist. Nothing would connect. So we ended up listening to Hits Radio.
Yeah.
And Eiffel 65 and Ghetto Superstar and all of those classics. We've both said we quite like that again.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, one day someone's going to want my birth playlist, okay? One day someone's going to want my birth playlist. If you want it, come and get it.
Or... sorry to dampen your spirits on this one, sis, but just listen to Hits Radio because it's laugh after laugh when your old school tunes come on.
Follow my journey and tell us about your own on social media. We are at To Baby or Not. If you rate and review this podcast, not only will it really help us out, but it'll mean that all your birth preference dreams will absolutely come true.
Next time on To Baby or Not To Baby.
When he was born, I wasn't able to touch him, which I think was really damaging, actually, as a mother. They just took him into an incubator and said, we've got to take him. And I didn't see him for hours.